We're going to Blue Jays talk it up. Phone lines are open at 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell. And long distance is 1-888-666-0590. We will take the entire network, the whole country, all the way to the bottom of the hour. And then on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, on sportsnet590.ca, your Rogers radio app, and Rogers digital cable channel 904, we will continue to Blue Jays talk it up right up until 7 o'clock Eastern time, when you'll then flip over to Sunday Night Baseball, the Giants and the Atlanta Braves. A 7-2 win for the Blue Jays, a tremendous series. The Texas Rangers scoring 4 runs in this 4-game series, and the last 2 coming in the ninth inning today, unearned, after the Blue Jays already had the game in control with a 7-0 lead, a 7-2 win. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, long distance is 1-888-666-0590. Hope you're all enjoying your Father's Day out there, and thank you for making room for us in it. Andrew in Burlington, you're going to lead things off on the Blue Jays Talk. Welcome aboard.
Hi, Mike. Thanks for having me. Hey, happy Father's Day.
Thank you.
Yeah, great weekend series. 4 in a row against the Rangers. I wouldn't have predicted that a couple of weeks ago. 4 games under 500. Wouldn't have predicted that. And then a chance to be above 500 leading into this home series we've got going on. But, hey, I've called in the spring training, the first call the past couple of years, first quarter of the year, and my comment this year when I called was Adam Lynn would be the comeback player in the year. And this guy is absolutely on fire, and he's so fun to watch. And it's great to see, you know, a guy who went down to the minors, worked with Chad Mottola, got to turn it around, and this guy is just hitting lefties, righties, and it's great to see. But my question for you, you know, baseball, chemistry is everything, momentum is everything. We're seeing that right now. We know Lowry's going to be a great player. The guy's barely batting his weight. I'm just wondering, when he comes off the DL, I kind of like Edwin at third right now and Jose and Lind at first. Do you think there's a chance that maybe send a bit of a message, get this guy to go down there, work on a few things, maybe his attitude as well, and then come back up, you know, in the summertime, July, August, and be a contributor? Just wanted to hear your comments on that.
No, I don't. I don't. But I mean, I don't think chemistry is everything, and I don't think momentum is everything. I don't. I think those two things really don't matter nearly as much as a lot of people believe. But no, the Blue Jays are a better team when Brett Laurie's playing third base, plain and simple. I really think it just comes down to that, period. I know his attitude rubs a lot of people the wrong way, and I know people have to hate something, and I know that that this turnaround didn't start when Laurie went on the DL, but they've been one of the best teams. I think they're, since the 10-21 start, they're now 22-15, and that's the second best record in the American League since then, since back on May 5th. And Laurie didn't get hurt then, not till a little while after, I don't think. But I really don't think A has anything to do with B. The Blue Jays were under 500 when Brett Laurie started the season on the disabled list until he came back. It's just a matter of, they're starting to play better. Now they're starting to play really, really well. They just ran into a team that's going as badly as it's going to go all year. But this comeback began with Brett Laurie in the lineup, and for 3 weeks with Brett Laurie in the lineup. So, no, I don't know why on earth people would think that the Blue Jays should send him down when he's ready to play. They're a better team when he's in the lineup, period. And you want to have your best possible team out there. Thank you, Andrew. Appreciate the call. Blue Jays beat the Rangers 7-2 today for the 4-game sweep. Bob is in Vineland listening on the flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Welcome to the Blue Jays Talk.
Thank you, Mike. I got to tell you, listening to today's game, I know why the Blue Jays radio is the sound of my summer. I listened to Jerry Howarth reminisce about, you know, being that it's Father's Day, reminisce about his youth and how he got introduced to the game by his father, and I sat there listening to it. Probably partly I was giddy because we got a good winning streak going. But, I mean, it was just, what a great afternoon to listen to a ball game. Absolutely awesome. I got a question for you, Mike. What's your gut say? I know you're not a prognosticator, but what does your gut say of moving forward, because we know how crucial this the rest of June is going to be. After Colorado, I believe it's the Orioles, then the Rays, then the Bo Sox.
Yep.
I'm going to hang up and listen. What's your gut say where we're going with this and how we're going to do?
I have no idea. I'm sorry, Bob. But, I mean, you know, if you'd asked me that question going into this Texas series, would I have said, oh, yeah, they're going to sweep them and the Rangers are going to score four runs? Of course not. I have no clue what's going to happen. And you know, I don't know why you want me to answer that question either, because you know I have no idea. Nobody has any idea. They're playing really well right now. Hopefully they continue to play really well. It's not just that the rest of this, the month of June is crucial. It's that the rest of the season is crucial. And the Blue Jays need to put those long slumps in the rearview mirror and get to winning some ball games. And it's great that that's what they're doing right now. I have no idea how they're going to do against Colorado. One hopes they're going to continue playing this well and hopefully win two out of three. But if they don't, not the end of the world. Harris in Toronto, you're up next on the Blue Jays Talk.
Hi, Mike. Happy Father's Day.
Thank you.
Adam Lind, another multi-hit, multi-RBI game.
And yeah, just another day at the office.
The comparisons that can be made between Lind and Ricky Romero. Adam Lind last year got out to an awful start and was sent down, which can, I guess, arguably be a very low moment in his career.
I think it's inarguable.
Okay. Had a decent ending with the team. And this season, I think he started off slowly. I'm not sure if he recorded a hit in the first week of the season. But
I think he did. He did not start off well. He was getting on base quite well, but his batting average was very low 5 weeks into the season.
Right. And then, but since May, he's been playing like an MVP. And a lot of people last year gave up on him, and I was not in that group. You just don't have seasons like he had in 08 and 09, just simply being lucky. And with Romero, he had 2.5 outstanding seasons. And again, that's just not from being lucky. He was an all-star in 2011, and this year he had a chance here. But he is now showing signs of improvement in AAA, well, moderate anyway.
Sure.
And I don't understand why people are giving up on him. He's just 28. Phenomenal pitcher. He's shown what he can do, proven himself. And I think once he figures out his mental state, Nick Lind, mark my words, he'll be back in the Jays being a dominant pitcher by next season.
Well, you certainly hope so. I don't know. But, you know, people get down on him and give up on him because that's what fans do. And I don't know if that's a Toronto thing or if it's a 21st century thing, or if it's a fandom in general thing. But, yeah, I mean, that's what fandom seems to have become. Believe the absolute worst and be a real, real skeptic on the positive. And I think that has more to do with Toronto than anything else. But I don't know. I mean, these Texas Ranger fans here were up and cheering, and not sarcastically cheering, when the Rangers scored a run in the ninth inning to make it 7-1 and they had the bases loaded. There were Let's Go Rangers chants in the eighth when it was 7-0 and Texas was looking just limp and terrible and awful. They were supporting this team and urging them to win rather than what we get in Toronto, you know, in April, when the Blue Jays would give up one run. There would be booing, and then there would be here we go again and all of this stuff. That didn't happen down here. And down here, they have every right to do the here we go again stuff, because this Rangers team has just lost 5 in a row at home with no offense at all, pretty much, in this entire month.
Well, Mike, that's exactly it. And when we got down in April, everyone's throwing the blame at people and all this regretting trades for Dickey, and then somehow comes back to Romero, and just a circle of bad information, and which does absolutely no good. And to those people who were doing that thing then, just look at them now. They've completely been quiet.
Yeah, I haven't heard anyone call in to fire John Gibbons or Alex Anthopoulos in a while, which is wonderful. I haven't heard anyone calling in to say the Blue Jays should release Adam Lind for a while. It is too bad that it gets so utterly negative, and that's what I rail against, or at least I try to, and that's why people call me a homer and an apologist. Was I an apologist now for saying it would not be a good idea to release Adam Lind? I don't think so. I think I was being a realist, and that's unfortunately in the face of such extreme negativity that we've been getting from this fan base until the last couple of weeks here. That looks like homerism, and it looks like someone searching for positives and being an apologist and telling you the grass is green and the sky is blue when everything's really falling apart, and it really is unfortunate. And hopefully, I would love to hear from some of those release Lind, fire Gibby people, but I think they've just crawled into their holes right now. And any of them who call in would say, "Oh, they supported this team the whole time, and they never thought anything but the Blue Jays would pull out of it." There were people who legitimately believed that this team was going to lose more than 100 games 2 weeks into the month of April. Think about that for a second. We'll continue the Blue Jays talk. Phone lines are open, but we're going to take it back to our flagship station, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. So you can still call in, 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell and long distance, 1-888-666-0590. The Blue Jays beat the Texas Rangers 7-2 today to complete a four-game sweep and a 5-1 road trip. It is the Honda Post Game Show on the Home Hardware Blue Jays Radio Network. The Blue Jays beat the Texas Rangers 7-2 to sweep this four-game series and move within four games of 500, finish a road trip 5-1. I'm Mike Wilner, and just filling in on some of the scores, the Yankees had a 6-0 lead going into the bottom of the ninth. The Angels have scored four. They've got the tying run at the plate with two out. Then they trail New York 6-4, Oakland leading Seattle 6-2. Earlier, Baltimore beat Boston 6-3, and Tampa Bay lost 5-3 to the Kansas City Royals. Blue Jays are home for just their fourth home game of the month of June. We'll be on tomorrow at 7 o'clock Eastern for 7:07 first pitch. Josh Johnson trying to match Chen Ming Wong with one win against Rocky lefty Jorge De La Rosa. You've been listening to Home Hardware Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by Home Hardware, homeowners helping homeowners with expert advice. This copyrighted broadcast is presented by authority of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership. It may not be reproduced or retransmitted in any form, and the accounts and descriptions of this game may not be disseminated without the express written consent of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership or the Blue Jays Radio Network. For Jerry Howard, Jack Morris, Tom Young, Dylan Brown, and Gord Brunt, I'm Mike Wilner. Good evening from Arlington, Texas.
Rasmus hits one deep to right field down the line. That's hooking. That hits the foul pole. There goes another home run for a Blue Jay off the pole. Yesterday, Adam Lind, and today, Colby Rasmus, who now has homered in three straight games. And the Blue Jays go out in front 3-0 here in Arlington, Texas.
First time Colby Rasmus has ever homered in three straight games. Blue Jays beat the Texas Rangers 7-2 to sweep the four-game series. They go 5-1 on the road trip. They've won 8 of 10. And they are back within four games of 500. I said they wouldn't be 40-40. They need to go 8-4 to get there. It is now a possibility. I don't know if I would go so far as to say it's a distinct possibility, but it is a possibility. They're playing much better. I'm Mike Wilner. This is the Blue Jays Talk. One more segment at 416-870-0590. *590 on the cell. Long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Then we take you to Sunday Night Baseball. Let's go to Jonathan in Toronto. Welcome to the Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Thanks, Mike. My question is about the upcoming trade deadline.
Oh, yeah.
The way I see it, Anthopoulos is going to have a decision to make about Josh Johnson, whether to keep him or whether to trade him. And also, he's got to have some sort of an idea about where this whole Melky Cabrera situation is going, if it becomes more or less likely that there'll be further punishments. What do you think his number one objective should be at the trade deadline?
I have no idea, Jonathan.
Well, I mean,
We're six weeks away.
I know you have no idea.
But they're four games under 500 right now. if a month down the road, they're 5.5 games out of a playoff spot as we speak. So if a month down the road, they're over 500 and 2.5 games out of a playoff spot, his objective will be one thing. If a month down the road, they're back to 10 games under 500 and out of a race, then his objective will be something else. I agree with you that he's got a decision make on Josh Johnson. But the thing is, too, if Johnson turns it around and winds up being the pitcher that we all know he can be, then chances are he's part of an improving team that's making a run, and you're not going to want to part with him because either the first-round draft pick that you'll get when he leaves or just the fact that he's pitching for you and pitching well in a pennant race is enough to get you to hold on to him and not try to deal him for prospects. If he's not pitching well, he's not going to have much value out there on the trade market either. So that's a conundrum in and of itself.
See, I see Johnson, and granted, we haven't seen much of him because of the injury and now the blister, and I just get these bad memories of A.J. Burnett and Al Leiter before him, of guys who came in with a pile of potential and just mesmerizing talent in terms of what they could do, but never really seemed to put it together.
Except the difference between Al Leiter and A.J. Burnett and Josh Johnson is that Josh Johnson's already won an ERA title. Josh Johnson has already been a dominant starting pitcher in the major leagues. Leiter was promise and nothing more than promise when the Blue Jays got him for Jesse Barfield in 1989. A.J. Burnett was a guy who couldn't stay healthy and had really never had that great big year, even one of them. Josh Johnson's had more than one. You can't compare him to those two guys. This is a guy who has, despite the fact that he's been brittle, he's got an established track record of major league success. So it really does seem
seasons.
As though it's only, well, more than two seasons.
Is it?
Yes.
Okay.
It is. He hasn't been able to be healthy a ton. He has had one phenomenal season where he did win the ERA title back in 2010. 2009 was a very good year. Last year was a strong season for him. 2008 was a good year. So he hasn't had a bad year in the major leagues ever, really. So I think that kind of goes more to an established track record of success than those other two guys. I know it's again, and it goes back to what I was saying in the network portion. It's tough not to be super negative when you've never really seen this guy pitch before, and the only thing he's done in the Blue Jays uniform is be terrible, with the exception of one start. But sometimes you have to really rely on a guy's history and force yourself to believe that he's better than he looks. I appreciate the call. Ian in Toronto, you're up next on the Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, Mike, just wondering what you think Gibbons is going to do when Reyes comes back in the lineup. I'd like to see him move Cabrera down to the five spot and possibly move Lynn to the third and then Encarnacion fourth.
I wouldn't mind seeing that. I don't know. I know that John Gibbons has talked about how great Bautista and Encarnacion have looked hitting second and third. And you have to give it to Adam Lind as well hitting fourth. I don't necessarily mind seeing Cabrera go all the way down to fifth. Behind Lind and keep Lind hitting fourth. I like the idea of there being another threat behind Lind. There hasn't been one for a while, though Colby Rasmus now has been hitting behind him for 3-4 games, and he's been hitting well for a month. I don't think they're going to go back to Cabrera hitting second. Something makes me feel as though Gibby's really happy with Bautista, Encarnacion, Lind hitting 2-3-4, more so than he is with Melky hitting in front of them. I don't think we're going to see Lind move up. I think he likes the Bautista Encarnacion back-to-back thing. But it wouldn't surprise me if Reyes just slid into the top spot and Melky went down to fifth and everything else stayed the same.
Okay, thanks.
All right. It's the Blue Jays talk. Blue Jays beat the Texas Rangers 7-2 for a 4-game sweep and a 5-1 road trip. They come home for 6 games, 3 each against the Rockies and Orioles starting tomorrow night. Rob in Niagara Falls. Rob, you're next on the Blue Jays talk.
Hi, how are you, Mike?
Yeah, getting better, thanks.
Good. Love the show. Just wanted to say 99% of the time I love your opinion, but this time I have to disagree with you on Brett Laurie.
Why?
Brett Laurie, I honestly believe, is 90% of the mentality problem in that dressing room. I think he is a pint of cheap draft. He's all foam and no beer.
What did you think of him 2 years ago?
I wanted to see him so bad it hurt. I was so excited to hear about this kid coming up, but I think he's just a high-spirited horse that doesn't have the scruples to figure it out. I'll never question his talent. I think he's a phenomenal talent. Defensively, he's as good as there is, period.
Right.
But as far as the bat and who he blames and I don't know, he's the six Red Bulls before every game just seems to get to me. I don't know.
Who he blames?
Himself. I honestly think he's just an absolute high-spirited horse that just is wrong. Hasn't figured it out yet. When you need to hire a babysitter in DeRosa to look after him, I think you're wrong with 24 years old. He should have it figured out by then.
The 140 at-bats that you've seen this year, coming off a ribcage injury, mean more to you than the 700 plate appearances that you saw before this year. This is what you're telling me.
I don't think he's got it in him. I honestly don't. I could be wrong. I hope I am, for his sake. It's Father's Day. His dad's got to be a proud boy of him, but I'm telling you, I don't think he's got it. I really don't. But some real pleasant surprises, Kobe Rasmus. Very pleasantly surprised with him.
But you didn't think he had it in him, right?
Pardon?
You didn't think he had it in him either, right? You didn't think he cared enough or that he hustled or thought he was lazy.
I really didn't think he had the bat with La Russa having the biggest problems with him that he had. La Russa couldn't figure it out.
And you didn't think Lind had it in him either, right?
Pardon me?
You didn't think Lind had it in him either.
Oh, no. Lind I was a big fan of for years.
Okay. All right.
Big fan of Lind. I loved his demeanor.
All of a sudden, everybody's been a big fan of Lind for years. Look,
even though he didn't do well last year, I just liked the story behind him. I loved it. I really did. I think he puts the effort in every day. I never questioned Laurie's effort. I think he head and tails above everybody as far as talent, but I don't know if he can harness it.
Okay.
I really don't. Anyway,
all right.
Take care. Thanks for letting me on the show.
Thanks, Rob. Appreciate the call. Just keep watching, and eventually I have a feeling you'll turn around on him, too. It really does amaze me. I have to tell you, after hosting this show this is now my 13th year hosting this show. The last three, I've been told on a daily basis how terrible Adam Lind is, how he'll never be successful in the major leagues, and how the Blue Jays should just walk away while they can. It amazes me that everyone now who calls in has always been a big fan of Adam Lind's, has had his back the whole time. Rob in Peterborough, welcome to the Blue Jays talk.
Well, Mike, I hate to disappoint you, but I was going to call and talk about Adam Lind. But first things first, happy Father's Day to all the fathers. And we haven't been able to say this very often. That was a fantastic weekend series with fantastic starting pitching, so I hope they keep it up.
But, that would be nice.
Anyway, yeah. As far as Adam Lind goes, I was in the release Adam Lind camp probably the last 2 years. And I don't know, I think still in my mind, all he's done now, in my mind, is just played well enough that I think he's a tradable piece now. When I say he's tradable, I think he's tradable because Encarnacion is playing great at first base. He's been solid for two straight years now. And let's not forget, he had a stint down in the minors, too, that made him turn around. But
Why would you want to get rid of your best hitter?
We need a second baseman. I think... You know, granted, this is a year where there's not many available, but I think if there was a chance to get a second baseman and you could say, okay, you know, I still just think Lind is at best a streaky player. I mean, he streaked really good for whatever it was, 2008, 2009, and then the last two seasons he's had streaks of, you know, really good hitting, but followed
and
up by,
of really
you know,
bad hitting. Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. So, you know, I just think if you could get a second baseman or a solid piece that we need. You might be lacking a bit at the DH position, but maybe you move Melky Cabrera into the DH and give that leg a rest and You know, I mean, I'm happy to see.
You're looking to add here. Let me say this though, Rob. You're looking to add a second baseman who, when this lineup is moving the way it ought to be moving, is going to hit eighth, right?
Yeah.
Right. Why would you give up Adam Lind for an eight hitter?
Well, it's just a position we need. I mean, we've been pretty bad defensively. Like we've been,
They've been fine for the last 6 weeks. They've been fine. They were terrible for the first month, but everybody was terrible for the first month.
I don't know.
They're not winning any gold gloves. I think you and you're certainly not alone in this. Have this idea in your head that in order for a team to be great, they've got to field a great player at every position. And they don't.
Think back to the 92
Blue Jays. The 92 Blue Jays had a terrible catcher who wound up being the World Series MVP. He was terrible offensively and defensively. Couldn't throw anybody out, couldn't hit. He was great at blocking balls in the dirt. But that's the only thing he was good at. They had a shortstop who couldn't hit his way out of a paper bag and who was only slightly above average offensively. And they won the World Series. And in 1993, both those years you're playing with Joe Carter, who's a below average defensive outfielder. Candy Maldonado's a below average defensive outfielder. They had a great, great defensive center fielder that helped. You don't need to be great everywhere. And to try to find a second baseman who's going to hit in the bottom of your lineup and take a huge piece out. I mean, I understand, I guess, if you think Adam Lind's going to all of a sudden start hitting 140 the rest of the year and go in the bad streak and you're talking about move him while he's good. But I think that's getting a little too far ahead of yourself, too. I appreciate all the calls. Happy Father's Day to everybody out there. See you tomorrow back home.